So namaste, welcome to this guided contemplation session. And I am here with Ian. Hi, Ian.
Hi there.
And thanks for volunteering for this session.
As
always, we're going to just dive into some real life situation with Ian and trace that back as we have been doing from what the situation is showing up as in our life to, okay, what's the feeling that seems to come with that? And then we'll look at the feeling, what that's trying to tell us, that the belief is underneath that needs to be contemplated, explored. Contemplation is really the process of asking a question, challenging a direct assumption, asking if it's true, actually. And in doing that, we are unbelieving or stepping back from believing or bringing attention away from the thought answers that we tend to really focus upon. So we all have certain thoughts that, even though consciously we may not feel they are true, we might still be experiencing those thoughts because they're running through our mind without our recognition, and we're feeling the emotion of that thought and we're experiencing it as our life, as our experience. So we're tracing it backwards. And these are just examples of how to come to the thought, the belief, the story, same thing, and really to question that and what happens when we question in that open way. So Ian, if you want to get started, just describing a little bit about what led you to kind of volunteer for this session, what it is that's going on for you at the moment, that would be great.
Just generally, obviously I've used contemplation a fair bit in the past and sometimes I forget. So I just thought it'd be good to have a bit of like refresher with it and go through it again to remind myself. Well, there's a few things, but I'll go with I have this sense when I'm have a lot of things to do. Say when there's a lot, you know, we've got a busy day and we've got a lot of activities going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that some of them aren't, I guess, what you call spiritual, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a feeling of, what's the word? I don't know, it's like a little bit of insecurity or am I going to get it done?
Yeah.
I can see I still, I'm trying not to play with my beard. Apologies.
Okay,
it's
totally okay.
That's a natural habit that I have. It's like if I don't get them done, I'm still judging myself as a sign that I'm not. It's really
like
weird.
You should be able to glide throughout the entire day and get everything done. Yeah, yeah.
And it should all be nice and smooth. And it should be effortless. I know you've mentioned that a lot. And it doesn't feel that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So what, there's like a sense of pressure building up as you.
Yeah.
And a judging, as you said. So let's start from the basic premise that your mind can't understand this because your mind thinks you feel this kind of pressure or tension or whatever it is because you've got too much to do in that day.
Mm.
But whereas from the awakened state, we can see that having too much to do is, or lots of things to do, is maybe a reflection of, or not flowing properly, is a reflection of this belief that's there inside still around. And it might be something that you've contemplated, as you said before, but maybe you're just now noticing it's still playing up in this area, this kind of situation. So,
it's really, really obvious now when I have, because when there's days when I haven't got so much on, there's more, like, I generally feel more relaxed.
Mm.
And less pressured. And now it's quite obvious now when I have a day when there's lots of things to do, like we had this morning, I do feel that pressure still.
Yeah.
And there's almost like, I don't want to feel that pressure. Why do I feel that pressure? Because the only judging going on, I think, is within myself and not with other people, you know what I mean?
But sometimes that self-judgment is, I should be able to get this done so that I fit into what other people feel, if I'm more useful, if I'm more productive, if I'm more fill in the blank, other people will like me more. And of course, we're not thinking this consciously, that they'll approve of me more, they'll like me more, but it's going on some kind of gut level, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see that.
So what's the emotion then behind this? You mentioned, I think, anxiety, I think, a little anxious or something.
There's a little bit of anxiety. There's a little bit of kind of nerves with it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not outright palpable, gut-wrenching fear anymore, but it's still kind of screwing up your peace during the day, isn't it? You know,
it's not like fear or anything like that, but it's still kind of quite, you know, get a bit, why am I getting anxious over this? Because even like a simple task, still like this morning, the bins needed emptying. And I've emptied the bins.
Hundreds of times.
And yet there's still what I'm kind of about to do is, there's almost like, there's still that sense of, will I do it right? Mm-hmm. Or will I get it done in time? And will I, you know? And it's just a bit kind of, it's just a little bit annoying, really. Because I know people talk about the awakened state is like, you're kind of glad, you're floating through and it's all effortless. And yet just a mere thing like emptying the bins. And there's a bit of like...
We can see, as we're saying, it's not really about the bins, is it? It's about some belief. And this is just another way it's playing out. And most times it won't make any rational sense why it's still happening. Mm. You know, mind's looking for a reason why. Why am I still feeling this way? In reality, I'm just feeling this way. And my life is reflecting that to me in my activities and my relationships and everything. So you said annoying. There's another kind of annoyance is a mild anger. And you said, what were the emotions again you said?
Nerves, bit of anxiety, bit of, I suppose a bit of frustration at the feeling still there.
So which do you want to focus on for the sake of, you know, we've only got this time that we've got today. So if we apply the process to one of these emotions, like generally speaking, I'm hearing some level of fear, a mild fear, nerves, a little anxiety, and some level of anger, frustration, annoyance. That they're all sort of branches of the anger tree, aren't they? Irritation, impatience, frustration, annoyance.
Yeah.
They're all very sort of minor forms of anger, but they can be the ones that slip under the radar because they're not so obvious, are they, for a while?
And you kind of put up with it, don't you? Because
it's not
as bad as the fear.
Yeah, when you've been in a lot of fear or real rage or real strong anger, then, you know, it doesn't feel that bad. But now you're coming to a place where you can't tolerate that either.
Yeah.
Even these minor negative emotions, so... Which one do you feel you want to focus upon? Kind of the anger or the fear? And of course, you can go back and apply what we're going to do today to the other one.
So I guess fear is the higher one, isn't it?
And for me, it used to kind of manifest as a tension in the body, a real tight tension and contraction as well. You know, sort of muscle aches and pains and all sorts of things, as well as whichever way it was showing up in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with the fear then.
So you mentioned nerves, anxiety. What do those... So taking away the situation it's appearing as and just sitting with nerves and anxiety for now, what would they want to tell you on their own? Not what are they saying about the situation, because that's what mind's trying to explain. We're looking deeper. What's the emotion itself trying to tell you? What's the story that's in there? And it's probably something that consciously you wouldn't believe, but it's still there in our egoic structure. Take your time. There's no rush.
I think the feeling unsafe is still there at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what feels like the right question?
It seems a bit weird though, but I've got a sense of that I could cease to exist as well. That seems a bit of a jump.
Does that just happen now while we're looking at it?
Yeah, just that's not normally what I would feel normally, but I actually felt it there while I was looking.
Because if you look at why you're scared on some level, of course not consciously, of not getting all this stuff done, or done in the effortless way you'd like it to be. As we were saying, the judging is saying, well, other people will like me and approve of me more if I am that person I want to be rather than who I feel I am. And of course, this is all on egoic level. It's not going on consciously up here, is it? But it's going on in our gut type of thing. If you could be that person that the ego is striving to be, you'd be more accepted. You know, this is the way the thinking goes. Safer, because people would like you more. And the more you would fit into the group that you are in, the family structure, the professional structure, your friendships kind of, and we're probably trying to do this everywhere in our life, aren't we? Be someone other than we are, or someone other than we think we are, to, you know, in order to fit in better and feel safer. Because if I fit in with the group, then I'm more protected. You know, it's one of the worst punishments that we used to hand out was to be ostracized from the society or removed. You know, if an animal is removed from the herd for whatever reason, it's pretty much the end of its existence guaranteed, isn't it? Because we need these family structures. And of course, you're an adult human being, you know, that isn't consciously so, but some part of you is still buying into that, as we all are, until we're not.
So it's buying into, if I can empty the bin successfully, I will be more liked and more approved.
Yeah, in a more general way, if I can be the person I feel I need to be, who I don't think I am yet, then I'll be safer, more protected, less likely to die, basically, is the kind of bottom line of that egoic thinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll have more people to look after me, more people to like me. And we could call it people pleasing, you know, being who we feel we need to be in order for them to like us. If I can be a really useful member of this household, of this community, of this workplace, if I can be the best at what I do, then I'll be safer. People will like me, love me, approve of me, all of that. So which feels most important, the question then, about the sort of ending of existence, or does it feel more appropriate to focus on not being able to kind of be who you want to be? What feels like the right question for you? And there might even be a couple, but just to focus on the most urgent one, urgent being the most alive vibrationally for you.
It feels a bit weird, but I think it should be with ceasing to exist, which isn't where I was going to. When we had this session, I didn't think I'd be talking about that.
It's quite often, it was 99 times out of 100 for me, and it happened on the other sessions I've done as well, where for these core teaching sessions, where the thing it's presenting itself as is not really what it is, because some part of our egoic structure doesn't want this exposed, because it feels it's really true that I could cease to exist. Therefore, I certainly don't want to look at that. Why would you want to look at that from the egoic place if it's true? It's just kind of avoid at all costs, isn't it? It's labeled under do not look at this.
Yeah, you know, and bypass it.
So it's quite often hiding under something seemingly minor. And even if you've looked at this before, which I know you have, sometimes we're ready to go deeper with that, aren't we? Be freer of fear in all of its forms.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's
the question precisely then? Is it true I can cease to exist? Or is it true I could die? What feels probably something inside screaming, there's nothing, I don't want to look at this yet. What question feels alive for you?
I think maybe is it true that I can cease to exist?
So when this kind of happens in your life now, moving forward, you know, you've got a lot on your to-do list. You can then kind of notice that feeling, but then recognize it's what it's really about. You know, mind is trying to distract you from this in some way. Look at, you know, if you could be more efficient at doing the things you've got to do, that's what it's about. But really underneath is this, isn't it? My whole existence was an effort. When I really looked at it like this, my whole existence was an effort to be someone other than I am so that I would be safer. In an attempt to stave off an imaginary end to my existence. You know, and of course our bodies are going to go, but we aren't, so. So let's go into contemplation then, if you feel that's the question. Is it really true I can cease to exist? That's a biggie.
It's a biggie. I'm a little bit surprised, actually. But there you go. Let's go for it.
And just to explain, you've probably heard this before, but just it's always good to remind ourselves. In contemplation, we're asking the question and we're just open to all the answers that want to come. So that might be thoughts. You know, mind is going to try to answer that question in 100 different ways. That's okay. Might be emotions, some of which we've already sort of outlined, but also positive kind of emotions like relief and contentment might come, that type of thing. And then experiential answers such as, physiological answers like the body feeling tight or tense or cramping. And then the opposite side of that, you might start to relax a little as we go through the session. And then the non-phenomenal answer, which is the kind of silent background of peace, awareness, consciousness, self, that'll become more apparent as we stay open the silence. None of those are better than any of the others. The phenomenal answers, thoughts, emotions, all of that are just phenomenal answers, and there's no right or wrong answer. I'm not going to judge any. And we're just staying open with the question so that we tend to go deeper into our experience than just the thought answers. You can tell by the kind of emotion that we feel that something's really buying this belief still inside, this thought. Because the beliefs are just thought answers. So in your own time, if we ask this question, is it really true I can cease to exist? Just letting us know, sharing with us whatever answers come, and that could be an itch on your foot, a thought, a car passing by outside, a sudden urge to laugh, or any of all of those. We're not gonna, we're not just looking for the stereotypical answers that mind thinks are relevant. And there might be long gaps between your answers coming, or they might come thick and fast. It's totally okay. Just take your time. So is it really true I can cease to exist?
So, initially the body starts have started to feel a bit lighter.
Lighter, so there's a kind of physical answer, right? Energetic type of answer.
Yeah. There's a sense of more energy flowing.
Yeah.
I feel it going down my legs.
And we're not rejecting any answers. We're also not holding on to them. They can just be there in the openness of the question. Is this actually true? We've just kind of assumed on some level it is true, and therefore lived that experience, that emotion. It's just the openness of the question. Is it really true I can cease to exist?
So there's a kind of bit of emotion coming up.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure what kind of emotion it is.
Sometimes it's just kind of a mishmash of a whole lot of them, right? That just kind of comes up as a surge.
Feels like a bit of a splurge, kind of.
So when we get emotional answers, they can be sometimes things that we haven't wanted to feel or haven't been able to feel as fully as we can in this moment. So we can do our best to just feel those while staying open. Let the emotion just be there as much as you can.
I'm noticing the mind has gone very quiet.
Yeah, and that's okay. It might give lots of thought answers to a question like this. It might give none. It's totally okay, isn't it? It's more important that we're open to all types of answer than that's whichever type come is almost inconsequential for the sake of the contemplative process, at least. Doing really good with this, just taking your time.
10. At the minute, all the answers are like senses of energy moving and silence.
Giving you an answer as well? Is it slightly more relaxed, or is
the
more
body
tense in places?
The body actually feels a lot more relaxed.
Hmm.
Almost feel like I'm kind of humming. Energetic.
Kind of vibrational type of answer, we could say, maybe.
Yeah. It feels very, very meditative.
In what way?
Just when I do any sort of meditation practice, there's a certain presence that comes.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm asking the question, that presence is kind of there.
So there's a different type of answer. There's the noumenon, the self, the presence, the non-phenomenal, not coming and going, although it seems to. Yeah, that's the non-phenomenal answer, just saying, hey, I'm here, that presence, you know.
Yeah.
Again, it's not the right answer, but we're just allowing that, and we're allowing all the phenomenal answers that come as well.
So they'll kind of the mind woke up a little bit there and went, that's what the self is trying to show me. that this presence doesn't go, kind of.
It doesn't die.
It doesn't, it was kind of, that's what the mind was interpreting, that kind of.
And that's okay, isn't it? Feeling. That's a sort of a positive thought answer, a helpful, insightful also. So the answers are just going to get more and more kind of helpful, positive, lighter as we stay open with this question. Insights and epiphanies might come, which are also kind of thoughts, but original thoughts, aren't they? Maybe ones we haven't really had access to before.
Yeah.
So just reminding yourself of the question, is it really true? I can cease to exist. And you might find the answers kind of divide into two sections here, those of, yes, I can, you know, sort of thoughts and nerves and anxiety, and then also this presence that is very much no, I can never cease to be.
I'm not getting much negative feelings at all at the moment.
Well, your life, your experience has been all the negative answers, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The kind of nerves, the contraction in the body, the thoughts about how you can, you know, trying to be a better person on the assumption that you need to be a better person, which of course we know isn't true. But, and then your experience has been the negative answers, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was when I kind of made that decision to go with this question, there was a thought, oh my God, I'm going to like open up to all this negative stuff is going to come flying out, you know. So there's a little bit of hesitation when I kind of,
I'm going to hit this wave of fear or something. That.
Yeah. And then while I've been just asking the question there, it's all been, there's been no negative at all. It's just been sense of presence, energy moving, lightness in the body, relaxation. Mind's gone very, very quiet, apart from that one insight there.
And yeah, we don't kind of mind things like that, do we? There's no right or wrong. And this is a beautiful example. You're demonstrating this for me very well, that when we assume the thought, the belief, the story to be true, we live the kind of lower frequency answers, the negative thoughts, the negative emotions, the negative experiences. And then when we're open, because the only thing we've done here is to be open with a question, open to see all the answers. Maybe in our assumption that this is true, okay, again, not consciously, but on some level, we're blocking off out of our mind, of our emotions, out of our experience, all the higher frequency answers. Not better, just higher frequency and nicer feeling answers, nicer experiences, nicer thoughts.
Yeah. So it's a little bit like what you put your attention on is what you experience.
And why would you look for any different experience if you're convinced on some level that this is true?
Yeah.
You just wouldn't, would you? Your mind, your egoic sense of self can't really make that jump because it keeps having the experience that it can't be safe. It can't it can't turn you into someone that it feels you need to be absolutely safe. So hence the frustration. It's trying to do something it can't achieve. And then that spirals around to trying harder and all of that. We've been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
This isn't going like I thought it would go. It's quite funny.
It never does contemplation, does it? It's kind of always surprising. Every time for me, still, and usually some epiphany at some point, this is not actually what it's about. It's about something else. Something much more deep rooted and primal in our sense of who we are. And here you can see, in fact, you've kind of said the same, that contemplative question and meditation become very much the same.
Mm.
There's the open space of presence, and then there's the phenomenal answers that are the phenomena that are coming and going in it.
Yeah. I have been trying generally throughout my day to notice the silence and stillness and that kind of thing, just naturally during the day.
I'd like to kind of suggest that maybe you don't need to do that so much. Maybe it's more about not focusing on any particular answers, because we noticed we didn't focus on any specific, we had them all.
Yeah, yeah.
The sense of presence just kind of popped to the forefront more, didn't it?
Mm.
And that by maybe where you are now, by focusing on the presence, I mean, you can enjoy it when it's, you know, when you're experiencing it, it's nice, but you don't even have to look for it. Maybe the openness of a question is the presence, is how the presence would be, unassuming, not knowing, sort of open to see.
Curiosity.
Yeah. For me, contemplation developed into a deep and rich curiosity eventually, where I didn't ever want to assume anything anymore. It's much more just natural feeling, contentment, relief, relaxation, which developed into a much deeper peace and love and joy of just not knowing, as we've spoken about before. But while we assume something to be true, and we can tell that we're doing that if there's some negative emotion, then we're going to keep experiencing these lower phenomenal answers, not worse, just they feel not so nice in the body, don't they?
So just, and it might change, I guess, on this occasion when I've asked this question, there's been no negative answers.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that could easily change the next time I sat with it.
Even before you ask this question again, when we finish this session and you get up to continue your to-do list, you might notice a shift in the type of answers that are coming.
Mm.
Maybe to a slightly lower frequency. The body might start to pick up a little bit of tension again, because there's some kind of belief in this assumption, this idea that I can cease to exist.
Mm.
But every time you ask this question, you are shifting your ability to totally believe this. You cannot believe this idea now as much as you did before we started.
Mm.
Therefore, you won't experience the emotion so much or so strongly. You won't experience the negative experiences so strongly or so persistently.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay.
But when I checked out my life, I was kind of living in this kind of gut level anxiety.
Mm.
Moving through my whole life, trying to be who I thought I needed to be in this moment so that I was accepted, liked, loved, and therefore safe.
Yeah.
And it's impossible, because I'm trying to feel safe on the assumption that I'm unsafe. And that's just not true for the presence, is it? The real self.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
How does your body feel now that we've sat like this for a while?
Just really kind of relaxed and light and presence. I can feel the presence, and it's just, again, the mind has really gone quiet. I'm trying to think of stuff.
It's okay, isn't it? It'll speak again at some point. And it's more about our attitude when those phenomenal answers really start to come. You know, you could eventually live your life as a question.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, you have to stop every 10 seconds and close your eyes and, you know, say the question, but am I open to everything, every way that life wants to answer my question?
Right.
You know, just so, every now and again, am I open? Just gently. Am I curious? Have I lost that kind of curiosity and spiraled a bit into tension or something?
So contemplation is a way of just remind yourself to stay open, really, isn't it?
And as you enjoy how it feels to be open, you want to do it more. And the more obvious it is when you're a little closed around a thought answer, an assumption, a belief, because the body starts to tell you, or your experience goes south.
Just a little thought there that I don't know if this relates to a belief that I still have, that it's there's a sense of being scared of allowing all that in, of allowing to feel what I really am fully, if you know what I mean.
So let's look at that, because here now a deeper assumption maybe has come, or a related assumption has come to the forefront. It's good feeling like this, but I can't do this all the time, or something like that, isn't it? Because why can't you do that then? Why? What's the kind of thought answers, the deep thought answers behind that? Why couldn't you walk around in this contemplative kind of attitude or stance? What would go wrong, says mind?
The sense I won't be able to function. And a sense of we can't all walk around like that, because the world would just go to pot kind of thing. Everyone's just
blissed out
and almost like it's irresponsible.
So that's a good one. Let's spend a few minutes. We have a little time, so let's look at that one if you want to. Is it true, actually, it's irresponsible to be free, to be open, to be happy?
This is I had some thoughts there around you have to be able to control
it's okay, take your time.
So it's irresponsible to just float along in bliss and happiness, because you have to, this is just maybe a really old belief, that you have to control your emotions and you have to be in control of things and you have to be maybe seeing people who, in the past, before all this, you can't live like that, you can't function like that. That's really kind of wrong in a way, if you know.
It leads to kind of non-functionality and all of that, and a lot of the examples of awakened beings that we've seen are teachers who might have traditionally sat in a cave or on a mountaintop or in a forest or in an ashram, and have some, to some degree, detached themselves from what we might say is normal worldly existence. And this came up for me as well, that, you know, I can't just let go because. And it came back again to this need to control everything so that I can be, if I'm not monitoring what's going on intensely, I might not be who I need to be in this moment. You know, I might just be something else that's not valued or appreciated or something.
Yeah. Well, it is about letting go, isn't it? I can see that. It's about not if I let go fully, almost like it's wrong. Kind of weird.
Is that the question then? Because it's very common for the question to shift as you're open like this. The different frequency now, different question. And you can kind of ride the questions all the way to constant freedom.
So it'd be something like,
is it really wrong? Is it, or is it true it's wrong?
This is really judgmental, this, isn't it? This is really
But again, not judging that. Ego thinks in these ways. First, we have to see I'm not my ego. I'm not that. And then we have to, then we're going back in to kind of dissolve these egoic ways of thinking, aren't we?
Mm.
And ego's ways are very much based on assumptions, discernments, judgments, and it's okay.
Mm.
It's not you consciously thinking this, is it? It's just some part of your being
yeah.
has still given agreement to this, and now we're shedding light on it to release it because you can, because you're ready.
Yeah. It's kind of all around the area of like, there has to be rules and there has to be things that people follow to be safe. And that's why, I mean, I used to play a lot of sport, and I always used to relax and play sport because there was always rules and things to protect you.
Yeah.
You know, like the referees and all that kind of stuff.
And this feels unstructured to ego. It feels
predictable. Yeah. It feels very unstructured if everyone just let go. So I have to hold on.
So here you are.
Mm.
What you're saying now is the thought answers are coming to this question. Yeah. Is it true? It's wrong.
Yeah.
But there weren't so many thought answers to the previous question. Now there's quite a lot coming to this one that you're much more conscious of now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Again, just applying the same contemplative process moving forward. Mm. Whatever answer I get, there's no final answer. There's no right or wrong answer. There's just, I'm ever clearer of the thought answers I've been believing on some level.
Yeah.
Without blame of ourselves. And then as I just stay with this question, like, is it really true it's wrong or unsafe or whatever? The relevant question is to just let go.
Yeah.
So maybe this is where your contemplation wants to go in the next couple of days and weeks.
Yeah.
Around this.
Although I've just asked the question again there.
Yeah.
Is it true it's not safe to let go? And the mind's gone quiet again. And I'm going back to how it was when I was asking the question about can I cease to exist?
Mm.
It's almost like there was a splurge of thought answers.
Because you were suddenly open to allow them.
Yeah.
There's an openness to allow them. They've splurged out. There might be more later. It's okay. You're just watching them come.
Mm.
And in the openness of this time that we're sat contemplating, there's just the openness for whatever needs to move. So energies might move, life force might move, emotions, thoughts, experience might change, whatever. It needs to move is moving, isn't it?
Mm.
And eventually we end up in the constant experiential answer of yes, it's safe to let go, because we've just find more and more we have let go moment to moment. We're just more open, more relaxed, not worrying about it so much, and then not worrying about it at all. That will be the experiential answer. And you might never arrive at a mind answer that says, yes, it's okay to let go. It's safe. It's a good thing even to let go. Mind might say that, it might not ever. But more and more you'll find you're just open and free, living free.
Yeah.
And less trying to hold it all together.
Yeah, yeah.
And amazingly, the world didn't blow up when I did that. Much to my ego surprise. No.
Yeah. I can see there's still that sense that it's all the world will go to pot, you know.
And maybe it will always feel that way. My world will just disintegrate if I'm not constantly trying to keep it together, micromanage it sort of thing, you know, which is what ego is really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that makes sense on some level. Ego had to watch out for predators, to worry if there is enough food, to watch out for bigger animals chasing you across the, you know, the plains and all of that
back in the day.
You know, when we're even as human beings, we've had those experiences, you know, as Neanderthal men and all of that, and women. you know, so there's just all that old stuff in there that we might not recognize is still playing out in our modern human day experience.
So it's okay for the question. I know just that it shifts and go with the question, what feels right.
And suddenly there'll be a question that feels more relevant, more vibrationally resonant, more alive, you know, more real, something like that, where your body really gives you a positive response to that question, a sense of excitement or, oh, you know, something like that. That just naturally, organically happened, didn't it, while we were open?
Yeah, it was just a kind of different experience. And at one point, no thought answers, and it was all like in the body and emotions. And then it was splurge of thoughts, you know, when they changed the question. So, yeah, it was quite interesting that.
Because when the question changes, mind goes to its filing cabinet of answers. All right, yeah, is this, you know, so it gives you all the things it's got stored under this, you know, its familiar thoughts around this question. And you can just watch those come. They're just answers. You know, we stay open, and then they don't come with the intense emotion attached to them, because the openness, it's impossible to feel stressed out in that.
Yeah.
And more and more, it's just, am I kind of living from a question, any question? Or am I experiencing an assumption in and as my life, a belief?
Right, okay.
And more you are, you know, of the years we've known each other, you're more and more peaceful. You're just aware of these ever more subtle things coming up.
Yeah.
Showing themselves in your experience, as your experience, and then sort of looking at that.
It feels like it's almost like the little ones, I can't tolerate them now.
Yeah. Where you lived with such bigger ones as a separate being, we all did.
Yeah.
Feeling quite strong fear many times, unworthiness, guilt, shame, anger. But now you've shifted so far into the recognition of what you really are that even the slightest lower vibration is like, ew.
Yeah. It almost feels like the little things are bigger, but they're not bigger. But
if it's still, little thing is here.
Yeah.
And you're here, it's not going to bother you.
Yeah.
But if you're here now, mind and body at least.
Yeah.
That's a big gap. And it feels, when that activates inside, I don't like that. Something just, I want to close this gap, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Any questions about the contemplative process before we finish this session, or that you can
think of? I'm going to set a reminder in my phone to kind of every day do a little bit, at least once a day, and just because that was really quite... it's not one of the practices I've been doing kind of regularly recently. But that was really, really good, really informative. Maybe.
I think we have a period where our contemplative process is quite intense when we first see what we are, and a lot of vibrations that don't match up with that anymore, a lot of ideas have to be looked at.
Yeah.
And then there's this relatively quiet phase, or where we might feel as if we just kind of don't need that so much. And then there was this clearing up of the fine, the irritations, the impatience, the frustration for me. There was like a 10 or 15 different ways that was really showing up in my life. I still catch one every now and again, you know, still catch some sense. That's, you know, something is popping up there, and it's just a tiny, tiny lower frequency.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's more, okay, this is what I want. This is where I'm going to expand my manifestation, my mind and body. My individuality is going to expand through this. Yeah. It's more openness, more peace, more creativity.
Yeah. No, excellent. No, that was really good, that. Excellent.
Well, thank you for sharing this with us. I'm sure it'd be valuable for everyone to see it happen on a real life situation like this.
Anything to help people, that's really no problem at all. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, Speak to you soon.